California is one of six states that holds its primary next week. Hillary Clinton looks certain to clinch the Democratic nomination. What then? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's a Politics Wednesday edition of our program. As the end of the primary season is within sight, we'll hear the latest thoughts on the Democratic race from our political analysts, Tim Hagel of the University of Iowa and Dave Anderson of Iowa State University. Also, what to make of Donald Trump's accusations against the political press as being dishonest and sleazy? And never-Trump activist Bill Kristol courts a third-party candidate. Could it happen this late in the game? Join our discussion. First, this hour's news. It's a Politics Wednesday edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. So glad to have with us in our Iowa City studio, Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Hello, Tim.
Hey there.
And Dave Anderson in our Ames studio, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. Dave, thanks to you for coming in as well.
Thanks for having me.
Want to join us as we discuss many different issues in this Politics Wednesday, the California primary, very important as we close in on the end of the presidential primary season. We'll talk a little bit about vice presidential picks, I have a feeling, a bit later. A never-Trump activist, Bill Kristol, trying to court a third-party candidate. Also, that debate that really didn't happen, the debate between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. What a crowd would have been gathered around the screens for that one. And also the controversy we just heard in the top of the hour's news about Trump University. But first, let's focus, Tim and Dave, if we could, on the controversy that has to do with an event that took place in January here in Iowa, just prior to the Iowa caucuses, where Donald Trump raised money for military veterans. Instead of participating in a GOP primary debate, this was one of the several fallouts with Megyn Kelly of Fox News. Yesterday, Donald Trump detailed $5.6 million in contributions he raised for military veterans. He also sharply criticized the news media for questioning him for months about what happened to the money. Here he is making remarks towards a reporter who had questions the inconsistency in dollar amounts of donations he had made to veterans groups.
I'm not looking for credit, but what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars, have people say, like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze.
Why am I sleazy?
You're a sleaze because you know the facts and you know the facts
can
well.
Can I ask fair questions?
And Trump continued with these remarks.
And then we have to read probably libelous stories, or certainly close, in the newspapers, and the people know the stories are false. I'm going to continue to attack the press. Look, I find the press to be extremely dishonest. I find the political press to be unbelievably dishonest. I will say that.
Okay, Donald Trump yesterday. Let's throw in this clip of a Hillary Clinton responding to Donald Trump before we reach out to our analysts, responding to comments and this controversy over Trump raising money for veterans. She called in live to CNN late yesterday.
I have done nearly 300 interviews just in 2016. And I believe that it's important to continue to, you know, speak to the press, as I'm doing right now, and to understand that his attacking everybody, fellow Republicans, Democrats, I mean, the press, you just name it, he attacks everybody, is a recipe for gridlock.
Okay, Hillary Clinton responding to the controversy over Donald Trump and the contributions to veterans. River to River listeners, Donald Trump calls the political press dishonest. We want to ask you, we'll be asking our political analysts here as well, has the coverage in your eyes of the 2016 campaign been fair? Fair to all candidates, generally speaking. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook or email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.com. www.newsweek.org. Okay, we've heard quite a bit there. Tim Hagel, what do you make of this? I want to note here that according to NPR, at least $1.9 million of these donations to veterans groups that Donald Trump reported yesterday came in last week. This was after Trump began responding to some of this intense media scrutiny claims about raising $6 million for veterans. He said yesterday his efforts totaled $5.6 million. What's going on here in your eyes?
Well, the press conference yesterday was certainly an interesting spectacle, and in part it played right into some of the themes that Donald Trump has been arguing for a long time, particularly about the press. He's complained about the press ever since, as you indicated at the start, since the debate that he didn't attend back here in Iowa for the, prior to the caucuses. And so this is no surprise, but finally the press got around to checking to see, well, what happened to this $6 million? And there had been some questions about it, and people sort of asked, but finally there was a big push. And like you said, that it seemed like a lot of the checks were cut right after they started investigating hard to see if, in fact, some of this money had, in fact, been dispersed. And so that seemed to be one of the themes that the reporters were asking him about. And, of course, Trump pushed back and pushed back hard. And like I say, he's very good at manipulating the media. And it was as much as people wanted to defend the reporters for saying, well, look, they're doing their job. They're asking these hard questions. But it was in a context where Trump was able to make basically himself look good because of the way he frames the issues and so forth. But also in terms of that it looked like, well, here's this gaggle of reporters that are essentially ganging up on Trump. And so that fits into his narrative. And ultimately, he comes out to some extent a winner, at least as far as the people that watch that particular event.
Dave Anderson, you think Trump comes out a winner here?
Absolutely. I think Trump continues to show that he just understands the media perhaps better than even the media understands themselves. He reduces all of his statements to a short, very catchy kind of jingle that will get play over the media, whether it's radio or TV or internet, and people tune into it. He is not running a presidential candidacy so much as he's running a reality TV show, and people love reality TV.
Mm-hmm. But what should the media do otherwise? It seems the media calling Donald Trump on the carpet here and saying, where are the donations? We want to see the proof. This is fact-checking. This is what the Third Estate does.
Absolutely.
Fourth Estate.
Absolutely. And I think what Donald Trump is showing is that he understands how the media functions, and he understands that they take these big, complex questions, and they have to distill it into short stories that are catchy. And he skips the complicated stuff, and he jumps right to the catchy part. And there's really no way out of that. The media reports things that stand out, usually things that are out of the ordinary or that are interesting. And Donald Trump gets that. And he just tries to remain catchy and exciting. And he repeats his slogans over and over. And the media covers it. Mm-hmm. I don't see a way out of it.
Mm-hmm. Dave Anderson, what do you think about the question about the media coverage of the 2016 candidates, not just Donald Trump? Has it been
fair?
Fair, level playing field for all, at least?
So I personally don't like the word fair because I think fair is invoked by people who don't like the outcome and they want to call it something, so we come to fair.
Okay. What would you call it?
What I would say is there are stable rules that everybody plays by. Unfortunately, Donald Trump is winning by these rules. The rules of the media are generally they cover what is considered to be interesting and important, and they tell people about it. But most of those things are events, things that you can get a soundbite from or a video clip from, and something that kind of shocks people that we're not used to seeing. And everything Donald Trump does is shocking. He has thrown out the political playbook. He plays by his own rules, and all of his actions are interesting and unusual. Hillary Clinton wrote the playbook. So everything she does is somewhat predictable. We can anticipate that she's going to have scripted rallies with well-manicured speeches that sound very appropriate. Donald Trump doesn't do that. So when you watch a Hillary Clinton event, you know, it's not that interesting. There's not much to take out of it. When you watch a Donald Trump event, of course we're going to cover it. He's going to get more coverage because he is, frankly, unusual.
Mm-hmm. Tim Hagel, I wonder if more coverage means that he has an advantage as we sort of dovetail into the general election, if these current trends continue with the way Donald Trump is covered. You know, because a lot of it is negative.
It is. And in fact, that's the argument that a lot of Republicans who don't like Trump have made, saying, well, look, he's gotten the estimate of something like $2 billion of earned media, free media coverage, and because of the reasons Dave was suggesting, that he's interesting and the others were not. And so he got the coverage. Some would argue that, look, a lot of that coverage has been negative. But I suppose it goes back to that old saying about, you know, as long as they spell your name right, any publicity is good publicity. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. And one of the things that some people have suggested that we're going to see now is that now that Donald Trump is the nominee, that the coverage isn't going to be as, if not positive, as neutral as it had been. And to some extent, that's what we saw in that press conference yesterday, when the reporters were engaging Trump. They weren't just asking questions, which is probably what they should have done, just ask the question, let Trump's insults flow over them. But instead, they wanted to engage him. And by seeming to argue with him, again, they played into Trump's hand.
Mm-hmm. Join our conversation on this Politics Wednesday. Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Dave Anderson, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. Has the coverage of the 2016 campaign been fair? Dave doesn't like that word. Okay. in your eyes, to all candidates at least, and probing to the extent that it should be. 1-866-780-9100. Let's talk about the Trump University news that has also surfaced, of course, in connection with Donald Trump, the scandal surrounding his defunct university. It's a for-profit school started by Trump in 2005. Yesterday, in the latest turn in a federal lawsuit that was filed in California by dissatisfied Trump University students, testimony was revealed. We have to remember that this federal lawsuit was launched back in 2010, before Donald Trump even thought, well, as far as we know, about entering his name in this race. Under court order, this testimony by former managers of Trump University, portraying Trump University as an unscrupulous business that relied on high-pressure sales tactics, employed unqualified instructors, made deceptive claims, exploited vulnerable students willing to pay tens of thousands for Donald Trump's insights. Here's an example from the testimony. Mr. Ronald Snackenberg, a sales manager at Trump University in 2006 and 2007, testified with these words: based on my personal experience and employment, I believe that Trump University was a fraudulent scheme, that it preyed upon the elderly and uneducated to separate them from their money. Dave Anderson, how damaging are these revelations to the Trump campaign potentially?
Potentially, they're very damaging. The big thing with Donald Trump, though, is he seems to be made of Teflon, and so few of the accusations that are levied against him actually stick. Another political candidate, I would say, wow, this should really hurt him in the polls. This goes directly to some of his chief credentials. He plays himself as a business guru who knows how to make money, knows how to manage things, and he's coming out as a con artist here. Should destroy him, at least wound him severely. I'm just not sure anymore, though. He seems to walk away from things like this and deflect all attacks upon him.
Right. I don't know. We already had one Teflon president, Ronald Reagan. I think we need to up the stakes, don't you think, Dave? This maybe is our Kevlar. Kevlar, is that the body armor?
Yes.
Maybe that's it. Teflon is a kitchen thing. This is battlefield stuff.
this should be. This should be a shot to the heart that should wound him. He should be fleeing the media right now. He should be ducking and covering. But he's Donald Trump. So I'm sure he will spin this that the people who are accusing him are actually fraudulent. They're liars. They're bad people. He's going to use much more colorful language than that. And who knows if people will continue to buy his rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Tim Hagel, your view on the Trump University controversy, the lawsuit, and the damage it might do to his campaign.
Yeah, just listening to Dave there, I'm thinking, and I've said this before, that how many times have we said this in the past? Even going back to, you know, thinking before the Iowa caucuses when Trump was in this forum and he made those comments about John McCain, you know, I like people that weren't captured. Every time Donald says something like this, Trump says something like this, people say, oh, that should end his presidency, that should end his run and all this, and it never did. It just never sticks to him, and it's not clear that this will either. And, you know, certain in certain respects, you can say, well, look, this is it's a hard technique, and you see this in some other private institutions, and it's a shame that it has the name university on it, but, you know, private companies selling seminars and things like that, that's not entirely out of the ordinary for some of these groups in terms of those hard techniques. Trump can bring out, as you were saying, some people that actually were successful at this seminar series, Trump University, that said, well, I enjoyed it. I got a lot of information out of it and very successful as a result of it. So you have that as a counter kind of a thing. So is it just a few disgruntled employees or customers that didn't get it and weren't successful? Or is there something more broad? Well, of course, that's what the lawsuit's going to determine. But it just doesn't seem that it's going to stick to him, at least not in the way that it would for any other politician or person running for office.
Of course, Donald Trump selling himself to be president as a very successful businessman, the art of the deal and so forth. Dave Anderson, what do we really know about how successful Trump is and was as a businessman?
Surprisingly little. We have to kind of take Donald at his word that he is a $9 or $10 billion person. We don't know what his net worth is. We do know he's gone through several bankruptcies, but certainly he is worth a lot of money. He has cultivated a very successful real estate career, though we're not sure how successful. He's cultivated a very successful media career with his TV show. The big question isn't, is he a success? It's how successful is he? And I don't think we have a good answer to that.
Do you think we'll get an answer before Election Day where I guess he may be one of the only candidates, the only candidate in decades who will not release his tax reform, tax forms, tax statements, Tim Hagel?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've always thought that it was weird that politicians had to do that. My thought was always, well, look, if there's any problem, the IRS would be on their case. And beyond that, what do you care? But I suppose from a public official, you like to see, are they being consistent? Like if they talk
about transparency,
giving to charity, do you actually give to charity? How much? That kind of stuff. Are you making those comments? So are you consistent? Are you paying your taxes? So I suppose that in that sense, it's useful. But again, Trump is, as Dave was saying before, he's rewriting the playbook. And basically, he may be able to get by with it. And certainly if, and we're kind of drifting into what we'll talk about later, but if Hillary Clinton is the nominee for the Democrats, she's probably going to have some problem bringing the transparency argument to against Donald Trump.
Join our conversation with Tim Hagel of the University of Iowa and Dave Anderson of Iowa State University. Let's listen to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. He said this week that Donald Trump, the presumptive presidential nominee, will not fundamentally transform the GOP. My view, he says, is that Donald Trump will not change the Republican Party. This was in a USA Today interview. It is America's right of center party. If he brings in new followers, that's great and well worth the effort. He will not change the Republican Party. Here he is making some remarks on Morning Edition this morning about the state, positive state as far as he's concerned of the GOP.
I think the Republican Party is at an all-time high. We don't have the White House, but we've had very good years. The American people gave us a new majority in 2014. I don't in any way think the American people rejected the Republican Party, or we'd be in a lot worse shape than we are. I think in this particular election, however, Republican primary voters are looking for an outsider.
An all-time high? Do you agree with that assessment, Tim Hagel, the GOP?
Well, they certainly were post-2014, but of course what Trump seems to have tapped into is an anger that things aren't getting done, that the things that a lot of the Republican voters and the independents that voted for the Republican office holders wanted to do by voting for Republicans weren't getting done, which is no surprise because with divided government, if you don't have the White House, Congress can pass all the legislation it wants, but unless they do so with veto-proof majorities, just not going to get done, and especially when you get roadblocks in the Senate. So I can understand that there's some frustration there. It's not clear that there would be such a huge turnaround between 2014 and now, but it's one of the things that a lot of Republicans are in fact worried about is to the extent that you have a wild card in the form of Donald Trump at the head of the ticket, what will that do to some of the down ticket races, particularly in the Senate where you have four, five, six Republican senators that are up for re-election that are in vulnerable seats?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our callers, 1-866-780-9100. Politics Day. We're going to be talking about the California primary coming up next week. Also, a final slew of primaries that will be the last ones for the Democratic ones. Of course, the Republican ones as well, but that's already been decided, clinched by Donald Trump. Let's go to Liz in Des Moines. What's on your mind, Liz?
Hi. I just wanted to say, in terms of media coverage for the candidates, what about Bernie Sanders? He's still in it, like it or not, and he's drawing enormous crowds
right.
that the media is just ignoring. And that should be interesting and or unusual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why do you have the sense that the media is ignoring Bernie Sanders? I get the sense that the media has been all over Bernie Sanders precisely because of the reasons we've been talking about early. He is something new and different. He's drawing these huge crowds. His opponent, Hillary Clinton, is the one that is less likely to make news. Liz, what is the basis for you saying that Bernie Sanders is not getting news coverage?
It seems to be the only coverage that he is getting is people talking about why he's still in it, where his mental state must be because he mm-hmm. has no chance. And that, you know, that's the drum that's being beat over and over again. And
okay.
not talking about the message he's trying to send and the way people are receiving that.
Okay. Dave Anderson, can I toss that
sure.
to you to react to Liz's remarks in Des Moines? Not happy with the fact that Bernie Sanders has not gotten perhaps the right type of coverage, the type of coverage she would like to see.
Well, I think Bernie did receive a lot of the kind of coverage she is talking about in the beginning of the campaign. And Bernie has done a really good job of remaining consistent with his issues message. And he's attracted large rallies throughout his entire candidacy. And that hasn't changed, so the story kind of got old. I think she correctly says the story right now is, why is Bernie still in this? Because mathematically, he is all but eliminated. Historically, at this point in the nomination battle, almost every candidate in his position has bowed out. So the story right now, the novelty of his candidacy, is really that it continues. So I think the media is kind of being, I'm going to use it, they're being fair to him. Because this is the novel part of his candidacy, the interesting part of his campaign is just that it persists with, honestly, very little chance of success going forward.
Mm-hmm. Tim Hagel, fair in regards to the Bernie Sanders campaign, the media?
Well, you know, yes or no. To a certain extent, Sanders is still in the race because he has a message, and he's not, you know, we can expect that he's going to be eliminated eventually, but not yet. And he doesn't have much of a chance. Everybody recognizes that, particularly given the proportional nature, the way Democrats assign their delegates. But it's still a conclusion on the part of the media. And I guess it depends on what you think the media is supposed to be doing as opposed to maybe what they are doing. Should they say, okay, well, look.
Well, the media is just interpreting the rules that the Democratic Party has
but they're
with
still,
its delegates.
They're
and
still
super
projecting forward, and that's mm-hmm. the key. Saying, are you reporting what's happening now, or are you drawing conclusions as to what's going to happen down the road? And, of course, I would agree to the extent that look, Sanders, arguably he doesn't have much of a chance at this point. And why is he in the race at this point? And that is a problem as well. Well, but he is still there, and it's basically, what is his message? Is it appealing? Part of the story is, will his supporters go over to Clinton ultimately? And so that needs to be covered as well.
Okay, we'll come back with more of our Politics Wednesday edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, along with Tim Hagel of the University of Iowa and Dave Anderson of Iowa State University. We hope you'll join our conversation. We'll talk about the primary coming up in California. Also, California, just one of six states that holds their primary next week. Clinton only needs 73 delegates to clinch the party's nomination. What happens when she does? That'll be a big question when we come back with Dave Anderson and Tim Hagel. Join our conversation with your thoughts, with your questions on this Politics Wednesday. I'm Ben Kiefer, back in just a moment with more of River to River. We're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer on this Politics Wednesday. So glad to have Tim Hagel of the University of Iowa with us, where he's Associate Professor of Political Science, and Dave Anderson of Iowa State University, where he's Assistant Professor of Political Science. We hope you'll join us. We've been talking a little bit about politics and media coverage in light of Donald Trump's accusations against the political press as being extremely dishonest and sleazy, another word that Donald Trump used. So we're asking you, has the coverage in your eyes, in your ears, on your printed page or on your screen been fair? 1-866-780-9100. We also want to talk about the Democratic primary in California and other states next week. But before that, let's go to Rick. Rick in Minburn. Hi, Rick. You had something to say about the media coverage of these candidates?
Yeah, I sure do. Listen, this is not only advice for the media, but also for Hillary and for Bernie, is that they don't show up with video recordings, iPads, tape recordings of Donald Trump, what he says in the past, because 9 out of 10 times Trump will deny what he said. They say that it's untrue, say that you're lying, and the only way to prove it is to show them right in front of them. Why don't they do that?
Right, right. I think you're right to a certain extent, Rick. I was reading some analysis about this. Donald Trump will just deny things he has said undeniably in the past, right, Tim Hagel?
Yeah, and you're starting to see, as caller indicated, that at least one ad by Hillary Clinton has indicated that, basically showing, okay, Trump said this, now he says this, and it's basically a reversal. Some other media outlets have done the same thing, that they confronted Trump or confronted Trump's surrogates, saying, well, look, he said this, and here's the clip, and now this. But they usually find some way around it, or Trump will just move on. And again, mm-hmm. that's part of the magic, I suppose, of Donald Trump, is that this sort of stuff doesn't stick to him. He just doesn't apologize, doesn't acknowledge it, just moves on.
Right. And Dave, it doesn't stick to him. When we're saying that, we're also saying that it has seemingly no impact on his following, on the appeal that he has. What does that say then about the electorate? If the candidate seems to be Teflon or Kevlar, if we want to up it a notch, what does it say about an electorate that doesn't care whether a candidate contradicts himself in the course of a week, a month, a year?
Well, I would be careful right now about saying he's totally inoculated, because so far we've only seen Donald Trump run for the nomination to his political party. So it's been a question of which of the candidates do Republicans prefer, and we haven't really moved to the general electorate yet. And what we have to start looking at is independents. And my suspicion is when we move to independents in the general election, we're going to see Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee, start launching really visceral attacks against Donald Trump, saying precisely this, putting up advertisements where she shows video of him saying one thing and the next day saying, I didn't say that. And I think among independents, that's going to be a big turnoff. We haven't seen it yet because right now we're really focused upon the party bases. And the parties are behaving kind of like parties do. They have an internal fight, but they like to give the benefit of the doubt to the nominees. But we're coming to the end of that stage.
Mm-hmm. Tim Hagel.
One quick follow-up to that, and I don't disagree with that, but one of the things that seems to be Trump's appeal is he is, in fact, appealing to a lot of people who haven't been as engaged in the process, and that includes a lot of independents. And even though some of the contests, primaries and caucuses, are technically closed, like the Iowa caucuses, you can often register same day or shortly before the contest. And so as one of the things we saw, and in fact, today being the first of the month, the Iowa Secretary of State voter registration figures are out, and I took a quick look at them and noticed that in the 4 months since the Iowa caucuses, voter registration for both Democrats and Republicans is up at about 25,000, and it's for Democrats and Republicans each, and it's down for no party voters, Iowa's independents, by about 60,000. Now, part of that extra 10,000 is just going through and sorting through people that have moved from active to inactive status. But basically, like other caucus years, it means that a lot of people that were independents, no party voters, moved to the parties. And so they're already making, at least some of those people are making their voice heard.
Mm-hmm. Does that tell you, does that typically happen in a presidential election year at this time?
It does. And we saw it. It depends on the contest and how exciting it was. We saw a huge movement of no party voters to the Democrats for 2008 when Obama and Hillary Clinton and Edwards were duking it out so furiously.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the California primary. The race, it seems, between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in California, very close. California, a whopping 475 pledged Democratic delegates at stake. This is a state where the delegates are divided proportionally. We have other states, New Jersey, also one of the states coming up for a Democratic primary next week. Dave, How much do you are you looking at the polls, and what do you see?
Well, at this point, I'm starting to pull back from the polls because the polls have shown a pretty persistent lead for Hillary Clinton. There was a lot of press given to one poll that came out that said she was only ahead by 2 points, but most polls show her ahead by about 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, she doesn't need even to win California. The victory in California is a moral boost. But right now, Hillary Clinton is about 70 delegates away from clinching the nomination. And there are not quite 1,000 available on in the next 2 weeks. But Hillary Clinton is just about at the finish line. All she needs to do is get maybe 25% of the vote in California, and she would become the presumptive nominee. And she's likely to do much better than that.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing with that many delegates, just in California, 475, both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are going to come away with triple digits in terms of delegates. Yesterday, California Governor Jerry Brown endorsing Hillary Clinton for president ahead of the California primary. He announced that in a letter posted online, calling Clinton the only person who could beat Donald Trump. He praised, though, Bernie Sanders, adding that his populist message mirrored Brown's own 1992 presidential bid. Tim Hagel, that's interesting.
It is, and that's partly why Brown and the Clintons have not always gotten along very well, as when Brown has been running previously, had that more populist approach and so forth, and didn't get on well with the Clintons. But basically, as a politician, he's realizing that Clinton, he believes, is the stronger of the two candidates, although that particular statement seems odd because a lot of polls will suggest that Sanders does better against Trump than Clinton does against Trump. But in any case, because of Clinton's strength and probably appeal to independents as a more moderate on certain issues than Sanders is, that she would overall have the better chance of securing the White House for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. So next week, Hillary Clinton, is there anything in either of your views that would prevent Hillary Clinton from clinching the nomination next week?
A resignation on her part. That is really the only thing that could prevent her from getting the nomination.
Okay.
You know, I think that that's right, given another poll that was released that suggested that about 70% of Democrats thinks that she should still be the nominee even if she's indicted, because that's still sort of the outstanding question is what's going to happen with the email investigation and, mm-hmm. and all of that, and apparently Democrats don't care.
Mm-hmm. How do you read the email, the potential damage still left in the email controversy, Dave Anderson?
I really minimize it. I don't think there's much there. The email controversy, it's coming on the back end of the Benghazi controversy, which seems to be just a series of investigations into Hillary Clinton that never seem to get anywhere. The story is always, well, there might be a there, but we never seem to find it. We just had, I believe it was the State Department report came out that mm-hmm. got a lot of press about how it was not very flattering to Hillary Clinton.
We reported on that right on this program, yes.
Absolutely. And I think the summary of that report, if I was going to summarize it quickly, would be that Hillary Clinton did not answer all the questions against her, and the explanation she has given is that she's already answered it elsewhere and she's running for president and didn't have time to answer this, which is one of nearly a dozen investigations she's participating in.
But there was some question of her campaign's cooperation with the investigation.
Absolutely. And her explanation for that was all of the material that she was being asked to provide has been provided elsewhere already and that this was redundant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to the California primary. Next week, a pivotal week for the Democratic nomination. Hillary Clinton clinches in terms of pledged delegates, gets past that mark to get the majority of delegates in all 50 states. What do we expect at that point, Tim Hagel? What do we expect from Bernie Sanders? Congratulations, and now let's get on board to defeat Trump with Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's the good question, because at the point where you've technically secured the required number of pledged delegates to get your nomination, Republican or Democrat, there's still that still has to happen at the convention. You still have to actually become the nominee for your party. And so in the case of the Democrats and Bernie Sanders, again, if he's looking to secure rules at the convention, have some influence on the party platform or what have you, he may not let up between the next week's primaries and so forth until the convention. But I can't imagine that he's going to campaign hard at that point. There's nothing to campaign for, so it's not going to be as public a type of situation where he's having rallies and so forth, and maybe more behind the scenes. But I imagine he's still going to be do whatever he thinks he needs to do to keep his movement going through the convention and have some influence there. But I think that in terms of the media focus, we are going to see more of a turn towards the general election at that point of necessity, because at that point, once Clinton has secured the pledged delegates for the nomination, Sanders is done.
And Dave Anderson, what options does Bernie Sanders have after that clinching next week by Clinton? And what do you expect?
Well, his options are limited to he can concede and just announce that he turns over all his delegates to Hillary Clinton and make her the nominee and not contest anything. I don't think we're going to see Bernie Sanders do that. I think he's been very consistent with his message that he's going to take his fight to the convention. I actually think over the next month we're going to see him continue to hold rallies, and he's going to shift his focus to start attacking the platform of the Democratic Party and try to push that to include more of his message.
Mm-hmm. So he can not attack Hillary Clinton, but attack the platform and the Democratic Party the way that it works and continue to move it in the direction he wants?
Yes. I think the Democratic Party should be concerned, though, that this implicitly does attack Hillary Clinton, because as the presumptive nominee, she becomes kind of the figurehead of the party behind Barack Obama. And any attack on the party and how it's being run is an attack on Hillary and is going to continue to damage her leading into the general election.
Dave Anderson is with us of Iowa State University, where he's in the political science department, also political science department. Tim Hagel at the University of Iowa. I invite you to join our conversation as we wind up the last 10 minutes of this Politics Wednesday discussion. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org if you would like to email us. Well, as we speak of Bernie Sanders, interesting, a few days ago, the debate that wasn't, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has chosen not to debate Bernie Sanders. On Thursday, Trump said he would love to debate Sanders after being challenged. Sanders accepted the challenge. The day afterwards, however, his campaign released a statement saying it didn't make much sense to debate Sanders, given that he's probably will not win the Democratic presidential nomination. Quote from his campaign, based on the fact that the Democratic nominating process is totally rigged and crooked, Hillary Clinton and Deborah Wasserman Schultz will not allow Bernie Sanders to win. And now that I am the presumptive Republican nominee, it seems inappropriate that I would debate the second place finisher. That's what the statement read. Here's some of what Bernie Sanders had to say about that reaction.
We worry about Donald Trump, this big, brave, macho guy. My goodness. He said he wanted to debate Bernie Sanders, and then he said he didn't. And then he said he did, and then he said he didn't. So I say to Mr. Macho that I am open to a debate anytime, any place here in the state of California.
Okay, Bernie Sanders, not quite the angel he started out to in the beginning of this race. Also some name-calling there, Mr. Macho. Wouldn't that have been interesting, Tim Hagel, a debate? It would have had huge audience, no doubt. It would have been unusual, though, right, Tim?
It would have been glorious, I'm sure. And I also like that Bernie calling Trump Mr. Macho. I wonder if that'll stick. And it seems to be there's a song that they could play along with that,
Macho
too.
Man?
Yes.
Well, all right.
In any case, it would have been a great debate. And actually, Trump is right in the sense that it's really not, I wouldn't say appropriate. It's probably not the best idea to debate the person who finished second in the runs for the other party's nomination. But it still would have been very interesting fairly strong debaters in terms of getting their message across.
Also in terms of policy.
In terms of the policy side of things, although, I mean, you can argue, well, Trump doesn't have much of a policy kind of thing. And Trump wasn't as strong in some of the debates, but still he had, when he was engaged in the debates, it was very interesting. And same is true for Sanders. And it would have been a very interesting thing. And it probably would have been bad for Hillary Clinton in the sense that she wasn't there and couldn't engage as well. And just, you know, her absence alone would have been a problem for her. So it would have been something that would have gotten, as you said, huge ratings. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen, apparently.
The debate that didn't happen between two populist candidates, how do you imagine that, Dave Anderson?
Well, I think this is a wonderful example of Donald Trump's ability to control the media cycle. I mean, typically the political playbook says that politicians are always serious. They say what they mean what they say. At least that's what they're supposed to do. And here Trump comes out and very flippantly just says, yeah, I want to debate this guy. And everybody loves it. I think if you know anything about politics, the idea of this is just incredible. It would have been so much fun to watch. Was it ever really going to happen? Probably not. Other politicians would probably be damaged for coming out and saying such an off-the-cuff remark that they apparently had no intention of following through with, mentioning that, you know, this is going to be a great charity fundraiser, and then backing away and saying, eh, I guess the charities don't really need that money. Other politicians would be hit. But I don't think Donald Trump is worried about it. I think what he looked at is that he's really out to hurt Hillary Clinton throughout this campaign cycle. And one of the great ways to hurt her right now is to deny her media attention and give media attention to Bernie Sanders. What did he do? He put Bernie on the front page of every newspaper for 3 or 4 days now.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about Bill Kristol, the activist, the Never Trump activist, in the few minutes we have remaining, has been hinting about a third party challenger to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. He has doesn't have any nice words for either Clinton or Trump. Now we know that Kristol is courting a constitutional lawyer and the Weekly Standard writer David French to run for president. Who is that? Well, constitutional lawyer, conservative thinker, veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, co-author of a book that bills itself as the definitive book on ISIS. Tim Hagel, can a relatively unknown private citizen mount a presidential bid with, what do we have, 5 months against some very well-known names?
Well, the answer to that is sure. But the question really is, can you mount a realistic presidential bid?
Forgot that word.
That,
okay.
Yes, the answer to that is no. That he's just not well known outside conservative circles or those who read the Weekly Standard, which is Kristol's magazine, and French writes there as well. So, I mean, I've heard of him. I've read some of his stuff. But, you know, beyond a few political folks that follow this very closely, no. And the problem, of course, even aside from that, is having the money, the donors, getting on the ballot in some of the states, a few of which Texas, that the deadline has passed. So it's really not the idea that you're going to have a realistic and serious presidential campaign, but what it could do is present certain issues. But the question would be, to what end? Mm-hmm. And that's something that requires some debate.
Dave Anderson, what happens with the Never Trump movement and the people who belong at its, or at its core?
That's a great question. I think the entire political world is turning their attention to this right now, because if the Never Trump people are sincere and they just will not endorse Donald Trump, the question becomes, well, are you going to bother to vote at all? And mm-hmm. if they don't turn out to vote, the Republican Party is in trouble this year. Mm-hmm. They need to turn out their voters just to get to the poll, even if they don't vote for Donald Trump. They need to vote for congressional candidates, for Senate candidates, for people down ballot at state level races. And if these people are kind of scared away from the ballot or are just lackluster about supporting a party that has nominated Donald Trump, the entire party is in a lot of danger.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple minutes. Let's talk about the Senate primary also coming up next week, June 7th. We've had interviews here. I've talked with all four of the Iowa Democratic candidates for that U.S. Senate nomination to face Charles Grassley in the fall, Rob Hoke, Patty Judge, Bob Krause, and Tom Fegan. What's your read on this? Who are the leaders in this pack?
Yeah, it seems that Judge and Hoge are the two leaders, or at least that's where the folks are putting the most attention and where they've seen the most money, although Judge is leading by far on the money front. She also has, of course, the name recognition, has run statewide a few times before, where Hoge is lesser known, perhaps more known in eastern Iowa, and so I'm not sure how much work he's done to get his name across in the western part of the state. You can see reasons to vote for either one of those two, and no offense to the Fegan and Krause as well, but it seems like, I say, Hogan and Judge would have the best shot at Grassley, although I think that it still may be a long shot given the way we like our incumbents here in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Sensing the opportunity, this is why we have presumably four candidates in here. Patty Judge, when I spoke to her, she said she didn't know if you'd be in this race had there not been the Supreme Court controversy over that ninth seat. Dave Anderson, do you feel that this Supreme Court controversy with Grassley as chair of the Judiciary Committee is sufficient grounds to unseat this, well, you have to say, legendary senator in Iowa, having served in the Senate since 1981, in Congress since 1975?
Well, I'll withhold judgment on whether it's grounds to remove him, but I'll leave that to the voters. But it certainly is a great opening for a campaign to be run against him. I think whoever the Democratic nominee is, if they can nationalize this question and argue that Chuck Grassley's actions have kind of weakened the nation and that this is about putting somebody in office who will do what's best for the nation and not just for their political party, that's a powerful campaign message.
Did you see, though, this story, the Supreme Court story, having legs between now and November?
Yes, I think I do see it, because I believe the presidential candidates are going to talk about it. It's going to remain in the media. I think there's going to be a lot of money spent on making campaign ads about this. And this is something that Chuck Grassley could change his position on at any time, really, and have movement. Okay. We'll see.
Okay, we will indeed. Dave Anderson, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at Iowa, at the University of Iowa. Tim and Dave, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Coming up tomorrow on this program, I'll talk with Dan Barry, an outstanding writer. His latest book is Boys in the Bunkhouse, Servitude and Salvation in the Heartland. It's about a story we reported right here on Iowa Public Radio at Alyssa. Remember the intellectually disabled men who worked at the turkey plant there? We'll talk with him about his new book. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon, with help from Lauren Knutson. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thank you very much.